First and foremost, I want to thank everybody for another year of allowing me to preach the gospel to you. I sincerely thank you for that. I was looking back, and last night I was thinking, how long has it been? I'm looking back through the notes and everything, and it's been about 8.5 years. It's been about 6 pounds ago. Only six. But about 6 pounds ago, I started preaching here. But it's been my pleasure. I thank you guys for the support and the encouragement that you give to Stacy and I. I say that with every bit of humility and thankfulness that I have. Let's take a look, if we want to, take a look at this past year. It's one for the record books. I tell you, in a lot of ways, we will be remembering this one. The year started out, if I remember right, it was in January. There was a church shooting in Dallas at a congregation, and that kind of, in a lot of ways, started the mood out for the year. How people were killed, I used to think church was a sanctuary that we could get away from the worries and the cares of the world. But the world's problems are coming inside. Amen. And we started out with that. We had, you know, the announcements of this new virus, the COVID-19, that led to shutdowns and quarantines and so forth. You know, people in the grocery store literally hoarding and grabbing toilet paper. The year of toilet paper. We had in various cities throughout this country the riots and the looting and so forth. The political stress, we always have political stress, but especially during an election year, with all that's gone into this past election, and I guess a lot, there's still some stress out there, not settled yet, and it's been unsettling. It's been a stressful year, but then that's the world. It does, like the shooting, it does affect us because we live in this world. We are told to be in the world, but not of the world. And I want to focus the rest of our lesson on us. What has our life at South Valley been this past year? We've gained some people. In spite of all the things that have happened, we've gained people in our congregations. We've had 3 baptisms during the shutdowns. How do you attribute that other than to God? We have had people move in. We've started the live streaming. I doubt if we would have done that. We've been able to reach people. And people have heard the gospel. Some of the people that watch us each week are our own members that are staying at home out of fear of health concerns. But we've reached people that we don't even know. In fact, one of the baptisms came from I'm going blank on Jay's last name. Anyway, Schaefer, Jay Schaefer, had been watching World Video Bible School lessons and was encouraged to find a local congregation. And he started watching our live streaming. And he comes in and one day says, "I need to be baptized." Okay, and we talked a little bit, and he told us the story of how long he's been studying, and through online studying, through other people, and his own efforts, he came to the realization, like the Ethiopian eunuch, I need to be baptized. There's water. What prevents me from being baptized? We've gained some people, whether they're in the building or not. We need to always remember that it's the Lord that adds us to the church. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Acts 2:47. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, Paul wrote, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen. God saw fit, in spite of all the things going on, to, while businesses are shutting down and people are struggling, the church was growing in some regards. And he's added to our numbers. Yet we've lost some. It's never about numbers. We've gained some people, but we've also lost some people. Some people have moved away, have gone on to different endeavors. We just had a prayer for Carolyn and RC. They were worshiping with us a good portion and for quite a while and have moved on to other places. We've had a number of people move. Earlier, at the beginning of the year, Jean and had moved away with her family and so forth. We've had some deaths, not only some of our members, but relatives and friends of our members. We've experienced some deaths. We've had a marriage. Amen. San Diego's gained some people. Unfortunately, I fear some may have fallen away during this time. I understand, and it's not me that takes an eraser and takes somebody out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't do that. That's that, you know, God hasn't given me that right. But I do worry that some have found it easier not to come to church and worship with their brothers and sisters. For those of you that may be watching, I'm glad you're watching, but I'd like to worship with you here. Amen. We have been over backwards to separate rows. People are socially distancing themselves. If there's those of you that are fearful of coming back, if there's anything we can do, please let us know. Amen. So far, we haven't heard of anything. Or I haven't. And if there's something that is, if there is one thing or two things or whatever that is keeping you from worshiping with us, please let us know. Amen. We will do whatever we can to accommodate you. Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5, the Apostle John recorded the words of Jesus. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Amen. That is a warning for all of us. Mm-hmm. All of us. And in the next chapter, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Look at how this is a lesson. Verse 14 is a lesson all by itself. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. Not only does he know our works, but he has the credibility to do something with that. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. all because of being lukewarm. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We never know. We can't think too highly of ourselves and think it can't happen to us. Another thing that has taken place this past year is I know sound doctrine has been taught. Our sermons, both AM in the morning and in the evening, the men that preach Sunday evening, they've preached the Word of God. They haven't been preaching social gospel. It has been the Word of God. The Sunday morning Bible classes, I commend the men that put so much effort and study into bringing forth the morning Bible classes, the women that teach the children. I appreciate that. The Wednesday night Bible classes, the gospel meetings that we have had have all been sound. They've all been messages that we can be built up from and encouraged and learn from. Oh, too fast there. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 1, Paul says, first of all, I need to say, I truly feel. Paul underestimates himself. Either he underestimates himself or he's being very humble. But he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. I get that one. I get verse 3. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's our goal here at South Valley, is not, I'll put it this way, my goal is not to come with fancy words. If that was my goal, I'd fall flat on my face. But I don't have to worry because my messages are from the Word of God. That's all I can do. And if that's not good enough for somebody, then I know the problem's on them, not me. If I'm coming with my wisdom, if I'm coming with my thoughts, I'm going to fall flat every time. But if I'm, you know, if a man that gets up here behind the pulpit or in front of the pulpit presents God's word, that's sufficient. And that's all we need. And that's all we've taught here at South Valley this year. Acts 17:11, like the Bereans, this congregation reminds me of the Bereans because you study. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That's commendable. Is because what if it's good that if the sound doctrine is taught, but if it's not searched out, what if unsound doctrine is taught? Would people just follow that? No. Not here. If somebody said something that was false doctrine, it would be caught and it would be corrected. We've made a good name for ourselves, I think. I think we've made a good name for ourselves. Our visitors that come here and leave, we have many repeat visitors. It's one thing to get a visitor. It's one thing to get a date. But can you get a second date? That's the key. Do they come back? And our mission support, the people that, we've, you know, we support Malcolm Parsley in, South Korea, and David Marub in, Kenya, and a Mexico mission. Our efforts are being felt elsewhere, and we're creating a good name for ourselves. The activities and the, service in the community that we do, you know, with, the missions. The David Phillips coming every August with our gospel meeting. Us, the Serving Our Kids program that we do, and we got another one coming up, I think the third week of January, for anybody that wants to participate in that. People know about, we're small. We are a small congregation, but we let our efforts be known. Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." I think of South Valley. People all over the country and all over the world know about us. A small group of Christians that are doing their best to fulfill God's word. Hebrews 6, verse 10, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." We need to remember that individually, that, if we wonder, does anybody know what I'm doing? God does. God does. Whether man, you know, ever finds out or not, God knows what you do. And last but not least, people have grown and matured. It's amazing how much we see the kids grow up, you know, physically. You know, this time last year, little Knox was just an infant. Now he's a little boy. He's a toddler. I look at Chase and Calvin, how they've grown. But it's not just that, just not physically growing. It's spiritually growing. How we've grown through faith, through obedience, service. A few weeks ago, little Gavin read scripture in front of everybody. A little 5 or 6 year old, I think six. A 6 year old boy did things that some grown men refused to do. Not pointing fingers. A little six-year-old did something that grown men will not do. And he's to be commended for that. I'm looking forward to the next few years. I see within a few years, little Gavin being baptized because he is on the right path. And I see in a few more years, a few other kids being baptized because they're getting a firm foundation at home and at church. First, or Second Peter, the Apostle Peter wrote in chapter 1, starting verse 5, and this was the, scripture ring. We're almost done, almost done. "But for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." To virtue, knowledge. These don't come without effort on our part. You just don't, God's just not going to sprinkle little fairy dust on us and we get these things. These come by our efforts. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours. The challenge is yours to remain strong and faithful and to increase, not just stay where we're at. We've had a successful year. not to stay where we're at. If we stay where we're at, we drift back. If we don't grow, we drift back. Increase our knowledge, our faith, our attendance, our involvement. Lesson and the challenge is yours if you need to respond to the invitation. We offer it to you. We never want to leave an assembly without offering the invitation. If you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin, start right now. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while we're led in the invitation song. Let's stand.